This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. The new Michigan legislature convenes for its first day of session next Wednesday. Here to talk about that is Ken Sikkema. He's senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican legislative leader. He joins us by Skype. Ken, first, there's a new Speaker of the House, Tom Leonard. He's 35 years old, Republican from DeWitt Charter Township in Clinton County, just north of Lansing. Term limits mean just about the point people in this state know the speaker's name, we get a new one. So what do we know about Speaker Leonard?
Well, that's true, Lester. In fact, every 2 years, the House, and that's what we're talking about here, has a pretty significant turnover. You not only have a new speaker here, but probably 40-some new House members. I think every indication is that it's going to actually be a little bit more conservative, even though Republicans kept their significant control. It's going to be a more conservative Republican caucus, but time will tell. They need to take some time. He's appointed a policy committee. They'll have a policy retreat to talk about their priorities and agenda, and that's gonna take a little time. He's gonna need to kind of assess the new membership and then proceed.
According to a Detroit News report I was looking at, Leonard listed his three top priorities. Their mental health reform, training for skilled trades, and fixing the state's broken teacher retirement system. That mental health reform caught me. This is about people in prison. He's talking about the cost of that. So what do you think mental health reform would really mean? What would that look like?
Well, the whole issue of criminal justice reform and, you know, the idea of this sort of mental health reform is part of that, because a lot of people in state prisons have mental health issues. Conservatives, surprisingly, have exercised some leadership on this in the past, and all indications are that Speaker Leonard wants to continue that. And it's really kind of part of the core conservative philosophy that taxpayer expenditures, when it comes to government, need to have good outcomes. You know, you just shouldn't throw money at problems. In our prison system, in the last few decades, that's basically what we've done, is just thrown money at the problem of criminal justice, and conservatives are taking a brand new look at that. So I think people need to see that as a positive here. But like I said, it's surprising, I think, to a lot of people that conservatives want to take these issues on.
Why? Why do you say that? Why surprising?
Well, I think it's surprising because people would normally assume, well, progressives or liberals are going to be concerned about the people in our prisons with mental health issues. You know, it sounds compassionate. And in that sense, people say, well, liberals would want to champion that. But no, actually, in this case, I think conservatives look at it from the standpoint of, it's not just a human issue, which it is. Not just a compassionate issue, which it is, but it's also kind of a taxpayer issue. You know, these people are languishing in our prisons, and that doesn't make sense from a taxpayer outcome standpoint.
And the cost, as I understand it, is about 3 times higher than a typical inmate for somebody who has mental health issues and is incarcerated. Let's move across the aisle and talk about leadership there. Representative Sam Singh from East Lansing will lead the Democrats in the House. What's his leadership style like?
Well, I met Sam in the past, and he has political experience. I think not only as a state representative in the past, but I think he's former mayor of the city of East Lansing. But he's very policy-oriented, quite cerebral, is how I would characterize him. He's not going to be a wallflower. You know, he'll challenge Republicans, I think in part because we're entering a gubernatorial election season, and that's going to help energize Democrats across the board. Every indication is that he'll cooperate where he thinks he can, but he's not going to be a wallflower here. He's going to challenge Republicans.
You talk about the Republicans going on a retreat to try to figure out what their big policy issues are. Do you have any expectations of what we'll see?
I think it's going to be a more conservative Republican caucus. And people might say, boy, I don't know, how can you get more conservative than what they've exhibited in the past few years? But these new House members in primaries, conservatives tend to get elected in Republican primaries. And I think Tom Leonard himself has acknowledged that it's probably going to be more conservative. But time will tell.
So are we talking about social issues rather than state budgetary issues? I mean, what kind of items do you think we'll see?
I was thinking primarily of budget issues, tax issues, not so much the social issues. taking a look at government programs and actually asking some pretty significant questions about, you know, is this program worthwhile? Should we keep it? And of course, on the tax side, there's going to be a great, great reluctance and antipathy to any kind of tax increase.
It's barely 2017, and we already have an announced candidate for the 2018 elections for governor. Gretchen Whitmer, a Democrat, a former legislator, announced this week. So what's the strategy in this early announcement like this?
Well, in her case, because she doesn't hold elective office currently, it makes sense. So she can get around the state, get some attention.
Well, she is Ingham. I mean, she wasn't elected, but she was appointed Ingham County prosecutor, correctly?
Yes, but that ended here at the end of the year. So it's different than if you're a Bill Schuette or a Brian Kelly. You're going to get publicity and attention because in the case of Schuette, he's the sitting attorney general and Brian Kelly, the sitting lieutenant governor. Dan Kildee on the Democratic side, if he becomes a candidate, he's a sitting congressman. They're all going to get some attention because they currently hold elective office. In her case, she doesn't. So I just think it makes sense for her to get out early. And I would add, this is a big state. You got to raise a lot of money to run statewide, and it allows her to begin raising money.
You kind of anticipated my next question. I was going to ask you, who are the other Democrats? You mentioned Dan Kildee from Flint. He's a current U.S. Congress member. So are there other Democrats on the horizons we might see coming up as a candidate for governor?
I couldn't name them, but I think you will see more. I mean, we all kind of in the sort of political chattering class, we all kind of name the same names, but there's always going to be surprises. And on the Republican side, even though Brian Kelly and Bill Schuette get most of the mention as potential candidates, just the fact that we mentioned both of those sort of allows an opening for a more conservative candidate to decide to run, because they can look at it and say, well, these two candidates might divide up the vote, and the more conservative Republican, the kind that promoted Donald Trump and supported Trump, they might gravitate toward a more conservative candidate. So I think you're going to see a candidate of that political stripe emerge on the Republican side.
We've already seen Bill Schuette distance himself from Governor Snyder. They're not buddies, let's put it that way. But Brian Kelly is attached to the governor just by office. He was his running mate. You think both of those candidates will distance themselves from the Snyder legacy, or will Kelly embrace it and say, hey, here are the positive things that Governor Snyder has done?
Brian Kelly, the sitting lieutenant governor, is a very likable person. He's a smart person, policy-oriented, but it's impossible for him to distance himself from the Snyder administration. It just isn't possible. And it's one of the big challenges any sitting lieutenant governor historically has had in Michigan. They have not been very successful. If you look over the last 30 years, there's very few sitting lieutenant governors who had ambitions to be governor that were successful. And it's simply because of that. You know, you have the legacy of a sitting administration, and people just get kind of tired of that. And then you have the Flynn issue as part of it. So that's his biggest challenge. Nothing against him. He's likable and he's smart, but he's kind of running against history.
That is Ken Sikkema. He is senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants. Hey, Happy New Year to you.
Lester, Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
Thank you.